We are going to be eventually getting to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and in preparing for this morning, I kind of like, you know how sometimes you're kind of in something, a situation or something, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is what's happening. Like, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, all the time, right? Yeah. Oh, this is what's going on. Well, it's like I realized, because of the messages that Pastor Steve, that Pastor Steph have been sharing recently on light, on spiritual warfare, Pastor Steph last week, old man versus new man, I feel like the word that the Lord gave me this morning just so ties in with that whole kind of thread of thought, of idea, authenticity. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is almost like we're doing a series with different people bringing different parts to this series. Like, have you've ever been to a conference before? And if there's a theme to the conference, like most speakers that come up to share, what they share ties in with the overall theme, right? I've spoken at conferences before, and that's what happens. They give you the theme, and they say, pray and ask God to give you something that ties in with that. And person after person that gets up and shares, it all ties in. It's different. It's unique. It's a different perspective, if you will, of the same thing, though, right? And I just feel like we're in this series right now. Yeah, which is pretty cool. And I believe the reason for that is that the Lord is preparing us. The Lord is preparing us. And, you know, if you hear something over and over again in Scripture, it's probably pretty important, right? If you hear the same thing over and over in your workplace, it's pretty important. I worked at a big health insurance company years ago in the accounts receivable department, and my position was a large group reconciler. And so we would send out billings to these companies, and as a large group, I think the parameter was like over 100 or 200 employees. So these were like, we're billing a lot of people, right? A lot of money changing hands here. And so we would send out the bill, and then the company would make any adjustments that were necessary, like, you know, Joe Smith left the company last month, so we're going to terminate his coverage effective such and such a date. And they would send that information to us with the payment, and then it was up to me to reconcile it. Okay, we billed for this person, they paid for this person. We billed for this person, they didn't pay for this person, so we have to terminate the policy, right? And so we would have these little team meetings pretty frequently, at least once a week, sometimes more often, and our supervisor would say some of the same things over and over and over. Why? Because it was important, right? 60-day terms. What that meant was, if a company doesn't pay for an employee for 2 months in a row, we term them back 2 months, 60 days, and that's the effective date of the termination of their policy, right? 60-day term, 60-day terms, 60-day terms, every little meeting, every team meeting we had. Remember, 60-day terms, every time, you know, a little get-together of maybe just a couple of us, not the whole team. Remember, 60-day terms, 60-day terms. I was saying 60-day terms in my sleep, right? But it was important, and she wanted to emphasize that, right? If the Lord has us in a series, and he's focusing on a certain thing, it's important, isn't it? Right? Light dispels darkness. And it's not even a competition. It's automatic. We flip on the lights, and darkness can't put up a fight. Light automatically, yes, displaces darkness. Right? Spiritual warfare. Right? Old man versus new man. And this morning, I'd like to share about this word, authenticity. Authenticity. What it means to live an authentic new life in Christ. Amen? As followers of Jesus. Authenticity. Before we get to the verse in 2 Corinthians, let's just take a look at this word, authentic. Authentic means not false or copied. Okay? Not false or copied, genuine, real. If you walk up to a man on the sidewalk and he opens his top coat, which is lined with watches, and says, "Hey, you want to buy a Rolex for $50? Do you think that's an authentic Rolex watch that he's selling? No, not even close. I looked at Facebook Marketplace recently just to get an idea. The least expensive one I could find was $4,000. Okay? Hey, you want to buy a Rolex? $50. Take your choice. Dude, that is not authentic. At best, it's a good knockoff, right? It is not authentic. Why? Because it's false. It's copied. It's not genuine. It's not real. It's not authentic. Another definition of authentic means representing one's true nature or beliefs. Representing one's true nature or beliefs. Have you ever done this? I've done this. You've been maybe in a crowd of people that you don't usually spend time with. And in order to fit in, you maybe would act differently than you would otherwise, right? Have you ever done, I've done this. Not so much now, but when I was younger, a lot. Why? Because everybody wants to fit in, right? Nobody wants to seem like the oddball, right? And so in my attempt to fit in with this crowd of people, am I being authentic to who I really am? No. I'm like that phony Rolex in that guy's coat, right? I'm not being true to my nature or my beliefs, right? And we have some core values here at CLCC. This is what is most important to us and how we would describe ourselves. And I think you all have maybe one of these yellow sheets, might be a different color in your bulletin, of our core values. Okay? This is our true nature. These are our beliefs. This is what is important to us, and this is how we want to portray to other people. We want them to see us as folks who create a welcoming atmosphere that encourages connection and builds relationships without judgment. That's who we are. When we're authentic, that's what comes out of us, right? Now, when we're around somebody and maybe we're intimidated by them and we want to appease them or we want to fit in and we're not true to our core values, we're not being authentic to who we are as people. And I feel like the Lord is just putting his finger on this. He is preparing us because I believe the Lord is bringing in new people. And some people are going to be maybe further down the road than we are in our Christian walk. Love it. Would be great. Welcome. Please come. Other people are going to be hurt, are going to be broken, are going to be out of sorts. How will we choose to interact with those folks? Will we be authentic to our core values? Will we be authentic to kingdom principles? Amen? So you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which says, who wants to read that for me? Could somebody read that for me? Who's got it? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You got it, Mike? Beautiful. Could you do it one more time for us, please? Yes. Aren't you thankful for that? When we received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, there was a big thing that happened. We became, as Jesus put it, born again. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All things have become new. That's who we authentically are. As a follower of Jesus, we're a new creation. We're created in God's image. He's our heavenly Father. We're his sons and daughters. And so as sons and daughters, we will reflect the image of our Heavenly Father as we live authentic lives as followers of Jesus, right? And when we're in this crowd of people that we don't normally hang around with, we continue to live authentically from this new identity that we received when we were born again. Amen? Now, do you always live authentically from your new creation identity? No. No. But I'll tell you this much. I live more in it now than I did 5 years ago, than I did 10 years ago, than I did 20 years ago. Amen? And that is the Lord's intention, to take us from glory to glory to glory, so that we can more and more live this authentic life as a follower of Jesus in this new identity that he's given us. I want to do that more 5 years from now than I am now. You with me? Yeah. That's what the Lord is stirring in us here in the house at CLCC. That's what he wants to do here, because there's people coming through the door. There's broken people. There's lost people. There's hurting people that need to see a good representation of Jesus here on earth, that needs to see some people that are living an authentic life as followers of Jesus. So how can we tell if we're being authentic in this new identity that we have? How can we tell? Let's play a quick game. It's called Authentic or Not. Okay? I need some participation from everybody, okay? So quick game, authentic or not. I'll describe a situation, and you tell me if the person is living authentically from their identity as a new creation in Christ or not, okay? Authentic or not, okay? So here's Peter. He preaches on the day of Pentecost a simple message, and he steps out in faith and does this, and about 5,000 are added to the church that day. Authentic or not? Authentic, yeah, exactly. He might have been scared to do that, intimidated by this great crowd. They were actually making fun of the followers of Jesus in the upper room. They said, oh, they must be drunk, because they heard him speaking in other tongues, right? Oh, they must be drunk. And Peter boldly stepped out, and he was living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus. Okay, how about in Acts 8? Let me just summarize the story. There was this sorcerer whose name was Simon, and he was around some believers, and he himself actually ended up becoming a believer. Awesome. So then later in this account, he sees the apostles, and they're praying for people, and the people they're praying for are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And they see like manifestations of this. And Simon, who, remember, used to be a sorcerer, he used to flow in some kind of power. It wasn't the kingdom of God power, but he saw and knew and understood what it was like to walk in power. And now he sees this from the apostles, and he offers money to get that same power. In that moment, is he walking in an authentic life or not? Or not? No, he's not. He's not. You can't buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think a lot of it had to do with ignorance, right? He's a new believer. He doesn't know this stuff. But he's not walking authentically in that moment. Amen? You guys are doing great. Let's do just a couple more here, okay? So Jesus speaks with a Samaritan woman at the well, who, again, he wasn't supposed to speak with, because the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans, right? We've talked about this over the past few weeks even. So Jesus is speaking with this woman. He has a word of knowledge for her, and she says, I perceive that you are a prophet. You have perceived well, lady. He's a prophet and more. He's a prophet, priest, and king. So she believes in Jesus. Was Jesus living authentically? This is a no-brainer. Was Jesus living authentically in that moment? Of course he was. And what about the lady? She just became a believer, and she is so impacted by this encounter that she has with Jesus. She runs to the town, tells everybody to come out and hear this man. He's the Messiah. A whole load of people come out, hear Jesus, and then they become believers. In that just short period of time, was the Samaritan woman living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus? Yes. Yes. It was like instant mashed potatoes. Just add water and boom, there you go. It's like instant evangelist right here. Have an encounter with Jesus. Boom, she goes out and leads the whole town to the Lord. Okay, couple more and then we'll move on. In Galatians chapter 2, there's an account of Peter. And he was eating and socializing with the Gentiles at one point. But then some of his Jewish friends came. And now all of a sudden, he won't fraternize with the Gentile believers. He won't eat with them. In that moment, is he living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus? No. No, he's not. And Paul actually called him out on that as well, didn't he? Yeah. Yep. Listen, we're not going to do it perfect every time. And so when the Lord brings correction, sometimes it doesn't feel great. You know? I heard a statement recently that said something along the lines, accountability feels like an attack to the person who's not willing to realize how their action or behavior affects another. Ew. Yeah. Yeah. Accountability feels like an attack when someone's not willing to acknowledge how their behavior affects another person. Ew. And how many of you can say amen to that? Yeah. I've been held accountable before. It feels like an attack at first, and then I realize this person loves me. They want what's best for me. And yeah, I was out of line. And so I need to do something about that, right? And Peter did something about that. Amen? Okay, one more. How about the way Marlon Swarner would share the gospel with so many people he would come in contact with? Was he in that moment, in those moments, those many moments, was he living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus? Yes. Yes. Yeah. So authenticity. The Lord is calling us up to a higher level. He's calling us into a deeper walk with Him, where we'll be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus, where more and more we'll live this authentic life as a follower of Him, where more and more we won't walk in old man ways, we'll walk in new man ways, as Pastor Steph shared with us last week. Did you guys take your purple sheet home with you last week? Yeah, yeah. Did the Lord speak some things to you? He spoke to me. Yeah. And it's an opportunity for us to grow as believers. Amen? He's calling us up. There's people coming. They need some authentic believers to interact with. We owe that to them. We owe that to them. Bill Johnson says, we owe the world an encounter with God. I believe that. I believe that. So, what are some areas that maybe God is asking you to live more authentically in? We touched on these last week. Pastor Steph did an excellent job of laying out her teaching, and the Lord spoke to us about some things. I believe that that will continue, well, the rest of our lives for sure, but that we're in a season where He is putting His finger on some things, some specific things. And then it's up to us. How are we going to respond to that? The decision is ours. Marty can't make that decision for me. When the Lord points something out to me, she can't make up my mind for me. I got to make up my mind for myself, decide for myself, what am I going to do with that? The Lord laid His finger on this. Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to say no? Or am I going to respond and say yes to You? And it's the same for all of us. Let's take a look at forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18. This is so critical, so important. Are you doing okay with that video? We're good to go? Okay. Probably, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. Famous last words of a preacher. Okay, Matthew 18. And of course, we know this parable of the unforgiving servant. There was this servant who owed his master an amount that he could never pay back. And on the verge of being thrown into debtor's prison, he cried out, he asked for forgiveness, and the master forgave him this amazing debt that he could never pay. And then he promptly went out and went after one of his buddies that owed him, relatively speaking, a very small amount to what that servant owed his master. And actually threw him, had him thrown in debtor's prison. And some other servants found out about this, went to the master, and of course the master was furious. You mean I forgave him that huge debt, and then he goes out and throws his buddy in prison over a relatively small debt? He wasn't willing to extend forgiveness. He received such massive forgiveness from me, and now he's not willing to extend forgiveness himself. And the master was furious and had that servant thrown in prison. Forgiveness is a non-negotiable. Forgiveness is not something we dicker with the Lord about. Forgiveness, listen to this. Jesus said, talking about what the master did to the servant that was forgiven much, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Hew. That pretty much lays it out there, doesn't it? If we're going to live an authentic life as a follower of Jesus, we have to consistently walk in forgiveness. Amen? Amen. We're going to have people that come through those doors that tick us off, that offend us, that step on our toes, that ruffle our feathers, that fill in the phrase. Are we going to choose to forgive? Or am I going to have a list of all the stuff that they did to offend me? Who? We have some decisions to make, right? If we're going to live an authentic life as a follower of Jesus, we'll choose to forgive. Amen? Another instance, Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? And of course, he replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How is our love walk? As authentic followers of Jesus, we should have an amazing love walk, right? I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. I live in your love. I walk in your love. My house is a house of love. My church is a church of love. My workplace is a place where love is prevalent. Why? Because love lives inside of me. Right? And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, this was a Pharisee that was asking this question, and he came up with the bright question, well, who is my neighbor? Where's there a little loophole that I could get around here, right? Who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, remember? And the Samaritan was on his way somewhere, and he got beat up and really left for dead, and he's laying along the side of the road. And remember, it was a priest that came along and went to the other side and kept on going. It was a religious leader, a Pharisee, that did that. Was he loving his neighbor as himself? Was he living an authentic life? No. And then a Levite comes along. He's like a worker in the church, so to speak. And the Levite does the same thing as what the Pharisee did. Same thing as what the priest did. And walks to the other side, keeps on going. This guy is just hanging on by a thread, I guess. And finally, the Samaritan comes. The person who shouldn't have had anything to do with the Jews, because the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. If anyone could have said, well, you got what you deserved, it would have been the Samaritan man. Because of all the offense that had been hurled at him, probably over his life as a Samaritan, from the Jewish community. And yet it was the Samaritan man that took care of him, put him on his own animal, took him to the inn, said, here's the money to pay for his stay. I'll be back. If there's more, I'll pay it too. It was an inconvenience of his time. It was an inconvenience of his schedule. It was an inconvenience on his finances. But was he living an authentic life as a follower of Jesus? As he took care of this man? Yes. 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 You know, I should back up and correct myself, because Jesus actually didn't identify the man, as I think of it. He didn't identify the man as Jewish, did he? He didn't. He didn't. But it was the Samaritan and not the priest and not the Levite that stopped to take care of this man. Yeah. We're going to have opportunities to do the same thing. Now, maybe it's not somebody that's on the verge of death and we throw them in the car and take them to the ER. Maybe, though. I don't know. But there will be opportunities for us to be inconvenienced in our time, in our schedule, in our finances. And in those moments, will we choose to live authentically or not? Let's look at a couple more here. Luke 15, let's actually turn here to Luke 15. Luke 15, we'll just start verse 1. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So Jesus spoke this parable to them, saying, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Will we live authentically and leave the 99 to go after the one? Jesus says heaven rejoices over that. And we're going to have folks walking through the doors. We're going to have folks in our workplaces. We're going to have folks standing next to us in the line at Giant who are lost, who we have the opportunity to share with. Will we leave the 99 to go after the one? When we do that, we're living authentically. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying, okay, we're going to come up with this checklist of things to do, and if I do these things, then I'm living authentically, and if I don't do these things, I'm living authentically. That's not what I'm talking about. But we understand, we realize whether we're living authentically by what we do. But it is an outflow of our identity. Okay? So, it's not that I'm saying, okay, we all got to buckle down and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we got to do these things. That's what we got to do. No, I'm saying we need to renew our minds in who we actually are, that we're a new creation in Christ, that old things have passed away, all things have become new. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As we renew our mind in who we are and what our true identity is, there will be a natural outflow of these things that we're talking about. Forgiveness, right? Stopping to help somebody in need, leaving the 99 to go after the one. That will be a natural outflow because that's who we are. Like an apple tree doesn't try real hard to produce apples. It just does. Why? Because it's an apple tree. We'll live authentically when we realize who we truly are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're talking about here. As we renew our mind and come more into agreement with who we are in Christ, we will naturally live a more authentic life as a follower of Jesus. Why? Because we know who we are. We know we're Papa's son, Papa's daughter. And this is what Papa wants me to do. And I want to do this because I want to be pleasing to him as his son, as his daughter. Amen? Okay, I have a short video that I want us to watch. Pastor Steve, as he mentioned, was recently up at Elam at the Oasis Leadership Conference. And Pastor Chris Ball, who is the president of Elam Fellowship, shared this video with all the credential holders through email. And it is from a prophet that they asked to come in and pray over Elam Fellowship. And it's just a 3-minute little video. And he spoke some amazing things, in my mind, over Elam Fellowship. And since we are an Elam Fellowship-affiliated church, I thought it would be important for us to listen to this as well, to hear what the prophet is speaking over EF as a whole, but over CLCC as well. So if we could cut the lights and just a little short 3-minute video, we'll check it out here as we get ready to close.
The Lord says, the Elam Fellowship of Churches, the Lord would say to all of you, if you want, there's a wave coming. There's a wave of my power and of my might. But I need you to open the door. I need you to let me do it my way. If you close the door, I'll go somewhere else. Let me alter the schedule of your meetings. Let me prolong them. Let them start strong and finish strong. I want to do a new thing, Elam. I want to light the fire. I want to light the flame. I am the igniter. I want to ignite you, Pastor. I want to ignite your churches. I'm promising you it will happen. Be mobile and flexible and pliable. There's going to come a wave of my power, a wave of my might. But I need your willingness to adjust, to adapt, and to change. It'll come in like a tsunami. It'll come in seemingly out of control. But wildfire is better than no fire. And God would say, I'm going to move by my spirit. I'm going to honor your honoring of the word of God. I'm going to also cause there to be a dramatic increase in the finances of the Elam churches. I'm going to bring a higher level of economic success and prosperity because you've earned it. You've been faithful to sow. So now, as a fellowship of churches, get ready to reap. And the Lord would say your influence will now also grow. There will be other churches, other networks, people in other churches will receive from the power and the anointing that the Elam churches will have. There will be an overflow. The Elam staff, the Elam pastors will have to minister in non-Elam churches because of the great anointing on them. Be humble, be mature, and be unselfish, and be willing to be carriers of the glory of God. The Lord would also say, there has been a demonic attack that has come against the Elam Fellowship of Churches in the area of divorces, and in the area of a spirit of infirmity, wreaking havoc on physical bodies. I'm putting the brakes on the spirit of divorce. It will come to a screeching halt, and marriages will be saved and healed. And I am breaking the neck of a spirit of infirmity that has crept its way into the Elam Fellowship of Churches, into the leadership, and into the laity. And God would say, I'm snapping the neck of that spirit that will no longer attack the bodies of the members of the Elam Fellowship of Churches. I'm going to do the new thing, and the wave is on its way. How big it is and how long it lasts depends on your openness. Open the door wide, and the wave will come in like a rushing, mighty wave, says the Lord. Amen.
What do you think? Yeah, you up for that? I'm up for that. The Lord makes all these amazing promises. I'm going to come in like a rushing wave, right? I'm going to increase your influence. I'm going to increase your finances. I'm breaking the neck of a spirit of infirmity. I'm breaking the neck of a spirit of divorce. Marriages are going to be healed. All this stuff. And at the end, the word is, to what extent depends on your openness? Now, to what extent depends on my openness? Depends on Pastor Steve's openness. And depends on everyone's level of openness here. It ain't up to the pastor to decide whether we have this move of God. It's up to each individual as we choose to live an authentic life as followers of Jesus. As we respond to the word of the Lord, we will see a great and mighty move of His Spirit in this place and beyond, I believe. Beyond the four walls of this building. It'll be at the concession stand at the Little League game with the West Penn Fire Company, right? It'll be at the Dream Center. Oh, by the way, they had 24 people that got saved yesterday. Love it. Yeah. We're going to have 24 people saved in a day in Newville. That's coming. That's coming. Isn't it, brother? It is coming. Yep. I'm taking a team up next Saturday. If anyone would like to join me, please let me know. We have some folks from Diller that are going, and I'm just excited about what the Lord's doing there. Our heart, Mike's with me on this, is that we go up there, we take people up there, kind of light their fire up there, and bring it back to Newville and start doing outreaches here. Start leading people to the Lord here. Start praying for miracles, signs, wonders, healing to break out in Newville as we live authentic lives as followers of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so, as we renew our minds in who we are in Christ, that helps us to live a more authentic life as a follower of Jesus. And as we are filled with His Holy Spirit, we receive power to live an authentic Christian life. Amen? As we get ready to close, would you just stand with me? Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will live an authentic Christian life as you receive power, as you are endued with the Holy Spirit. And so in these closing moments, I just want to lead us in a time of prayer. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is your morning. This is your morning to receive. And you say, well, Pastor Kurt, how do I do that? Well, how did you receive salvation? You heard the gospel message, and you responded by saying yes to this free gift that Jesus wanted to offer you. And it's the same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He gives this precious gift, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, and says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power to live this more authentic life as a follower of Jesus. And so as you ask this morning, if you've never done that before, I encourage you to just ask, would you fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit? Would you baptize me with the Holy Spirit this morning? For those of us that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, this is obviously something that we do continually throughout our lives. If I just took one shower in my life back in 1992, you wouldn't want to be around me too much, would you? If I just got filled with the Holy Spirit once in 1992, you might say the same thing. But as I am continually filled with His Spirit, He empowers me to live an authentic life as a follower of Jesus. And so, can we just raise our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for what you're calling us to live a more authentic Christian life, to live a more authentic life as a follower of Jesus. And we confess that we need you, Holy Spirit. We need your power to do that more effectively. And so we come to you today, and we say, would you come and fill us afresh and anew. Would you come and fill us with power? Would you come and endue us with your glory, your presence, your anointing that breaks every yoke of oppression? Come and fill us afresh and anew, Lord. We love you, we worship you, we adore you. Lord, for those of us who have never received the Holy Spirit before, we ask, would you come and fill me to overflowing? Would you come and change my way of thinking? Would you come and help me to walk in power, who, that I could not walk in otherwise? Would you come and help me to live a more authentic life as a follower of Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive from you today. Lord, we receive from you today. Can we just begin to lift up some worship to the Lord here in these final moments as we get ready to wrap up? Just out of your heart, just say or even sing your praise, your worship to him. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. We thank you that you do all things well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good day.